The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, SNL 50 Anniversary Special, A Comprehensive Review. This article was written by Mahela Ram on March 2nd. 50 years ago, on the 11th of October, 1975, the iconic line, "Live from New York, it's Saturday night," were uttered on live television, forever changing the history of pop culture and TV. Created and still overseen by Lorne Michaels, the sketch comedy show Saturday Night Live, SNL, is currently in its 50th season, making it one of the longest-running television shows in the United States. Recently was the show's grand 50th anniversary special, which was a three-hour-long live spectacle that reunited an incredible lineup of past cast members, notable celebrities, and many more SNL greats to revisit iconic sketches, pay homage to the SNL crew, and celebrate the show's legacy. Celebrity hosts and special guests. The SNL 50th anniversary special was truly a gathering of the iconic celebrities that have helped make SNL successful over the past 50 years. From former cast members like Kristen Wiig and Chevy Chase to memorable hosts such as Dave Chappelle and Tom Hanks, to even musical guests like Sabrina Carpenter and Miley Cyrus, the event was a real congregation of SNL royalty. Monologue. Delivered by 16-time SNL host Steve Martin, the SNL 50 monologue set the tone for this anniversary special's comical and upbeat, yet retrospective and nostalgic tone. He opened with a joke about the monologue being the weakest part of the show, but that was far from the case, as he was joined on stage by comedy legends Martin Short and John Mulaney. With jokes about the last-minute notice he was given before the show and the prevalence of AI in writing, this monologue set the hilarious, retrospective tone for the rest of the anniversary special. Best Sketches. The anniversary special featured revamps and continuations of some of SNL's most iconic sketches, bringing back beloved characters with a new twist. Black Jeopardy is undoubtedly one of SNL's best sketches, so naturally, it was part of the anniversary special. A parody of the game show Jeopardy, this sketch saw Tom Hanks reprise his role of Doug, and he was joined on stage by Tracy Morgan, Eddie Murphy, Leslie Jones, and Chris Rock. As usual, SNL wasn't afraid of some self-deprecating humor. One of this sketch's best moments came when none of the contestants could correctly identify the answer to a question as Saturday Night Live itself. One of the more recent sketches that was continued was the viral Bridesmaids speech sketch. In the original, when Ariana Grande was the host, she was joined by a group of bridesmaids singing a parody of Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso at their friend's wedding. However, the lyrics soon revealed the details of an affair the bride had with Marcelo Hernandez character, Domingo. The hilarious sketch was parodied numerous times online, and grew even more popular when Sabrina Carpenter arrested Domingo during one of her shows on her Short and Sweet tour. A second part was even included in Charlie XCX's episode, this time with a parody of Hot to Go by Chapel Roan. For this third installment, an all-star cast was featured, including Sabrina Carpenter, Pedro Pascal, Andy Samberg, and Bad Bunny, as well as numerous cast members from the 50th season. This time, defying gravity from Wicked, Taylor Swift's You Belong With Me, and Espresso, yet again, were parodied in a crowd-pleasing sketch. Recurring sketch Close Encounters was reprised for the 9th time during the special. The premise of the sketch is simple enough. A trio recount their otherworldly experiences, usually an alien abduction, to NSA officials. What makes these sketches truly hilarious is Kate McKinnon's hysterical portrayal of Ms. Rafferty with her increasingly absurd anecdotes. This time, she was joined by Pedro Pascal, Woody Harrelson, and Meryl Streep, playing her mother. And, like always, she made the other actors break character in a fit of giggles. Yet another hilarious recurring character was Debbie Downer, played by Rachel Dratch. Since 2004, she has been serenading SNL fans with her absurdly negative opinions on everyday tasks, making pop culture history as the term Debbie Downer has now become commonplace. During the episode, she repeatedly cast a dark shadow upon Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore, Ayo Edebiri, and Robert De Niro as they tried, in vain, to celebrate 50 incredible years of SNL. Weekend Update. Since the show's beginning 50 years ago, the Weekend Update segment has been a staple of SNL, delivering news headlines with a humorous, satirical twist. Current Weekend Update hosts Colin Jost and Michael Che were joined at the desk by ex-hosts Seth Meyers and Bill Murray for a hilarious segment. The hosts delivered the news headlines with jokes as always, gave a shout-out to the SNL crew members, and remembered the late Norm MacDonald, who hosted Weekend Update from 1994 to 1997. Highlights of the segment included the Cicely Strong reprising her hilarious recurring character, Girl You Wish You Hadn't Started a Conversation With at a Party, and Bill Murray ranking his personal top 10 Weekend Update hosts. Memorable Moments. There were many clips and montages celebrating the incredible achievement of SNL over the years, aiming to take the audience on a trip down memory lane. From Emma Stone to Molly Shannon introducing a clip about physical comedy over the years, to Tom Hanks announcing an In Memoriam segment about SNL sketches that have aged poorly, these videos were equal parts hilarious and nostalgic. When Tina Fey and Amy Poehler took to the stage for an audience Q&A, many celebrities got involved with the show. The pair called upon numerous guests, including Quinta Brunson, Ryan Reynolds, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Seth Meyers, who asked funny questions and even pulled other audience members into the fun. Later on, the show's iconic SNL Digital Shorts made an appearance with a new short starring Adam Sandler and Bowen Yang. The pair sang about the anxiety faced by the SNL cast and crew in an increasingly crazy, almost psychedelic set. Another memorable part was when SNL alum and member of the original Not For Ready primetime cast, Lorraine Newman, was joined on a reminiscent journey through Studio 8H by Pete Davidson's recurring character, Chad. His repeated replies of, "Okay," to her thoughtful comments about her time on SNL were nothing short of hysterical. Overall, the SNL 50 anniversary special served as a nostalgic look back at 50 years of groundbreaking comedy, a celebration of iconic characters, and a triumph of the incredible careers SNL has spawned. We hope that this iconic sketch comedy show and pop culture icon will continue for many more years to come. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Four takeaways from Trump's Congress speech for teens and Gen Z. This article was written by Dev Shaw on March 5th. President Trump's Tuesday night address was the longest joint session speech in American history. His speech was marked by acrimony and divisive rhetoric. For instance, Representative Al Green, Democrat, Texas, shouted at Trump, shaking his cane as House Speaker Mike Johnson ordered decorum. After a tense moment, the congressman was escorted out by security. Every 30 seconds, Republicans rallied cries of support and cheer, while Democrats jeered. President Trump's speech meandered through tirades on undocumented immigrants, Biden's administration, calling him the worst president in American history, and the flagrant waste of taxpayer dollars. He also touted his administration's tariffs, crackdown on DEI, and reversal of Biden's climate policies. Here are four takeaways for teens from Trump's speech. Gender policy. Trump inveighed against gender-affirming care for minors, sticking to his campaign promise. He said, "Our message to every child in America is that you are perfect, exactly the way God made you." In February, Trump issued an executive order to bar transgender girls and women from competing on female sports teams. He also signed an executive order in January to freeze funding for providers of gender-affirming care for minors. His rhetoric seemed to blast Biden's policies, stating that our country will be woke no longer. He touted his cuts to diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI policies, and added that workers should be hired based on skill and competence, not race and gender. Trump's crackdown on protecting women's sports has ignited controversy across school districts and the NCAA. In December, the NCAA president said that there are less than 10 transgender athletes in college sports. President Trump called on Peyton McNabb, a former North Carolina high school athlete who was hit by a volleyball during a match in 2022, and later said a transgender athlete on the opposing team was responsible, according to the News and Observer. McNabb became an activist against transgender girls playing on female sports teams. Per the News and Observer, the North Carolina High School Athletic Association said that just two transgender females had been permitted to compete in high school athletics since 2019. Deepfake crackdown. The president praised Melania Trump for her advocacy against deepfake images. The first lady was accompanied by 15-year-old Elliston Berry from Aledo, Texas, a victim of AI-generated deepfake images. Later, Trump commended Senate Majority Leader Tom Thune for galvanizing the legislation forward, titled the Take It Down Bill. Then, Trump diverted and said, "I'm going to use that bill for myself, if you don't mind. Nobody gets treated worse than I do online. Nobody." The Take It Down Bill is bipartisan legislation to make revenge adult content a federal crime. First Lady Melania Trump said in her first public appearance, "It's heartbreaking to witness young teens, especially girls, grappling with the overwhelming challenges posed by malicious online content like deepfakes." Barry, 15, was subjected to an AI deepfake image when a classmate posted false, inappropriate images of her on Snapchat. The Texas teen has worked with Senator Cruz, Republican, Texas, to ban non-consensual intimate imagery, according to the Washington Post. Restricting ideologies. Trump remained adamant about banning critical race theory from public schools, claiming he removed the poison. He then scored the toxic ideologies in America's schools. The president signed an executive order in January that fulfilled Trump's core campaign promise on education. His order stated that federal funding cannot be used for the indoctrination of children, including radical gender ideology and critical race theory, according to the Associated Press. The president's divisive rhetoric comes at a time of growing restrictions and tensions in public school classrooms. Critical race theory is a term used by Republicans to oppose lessons that are seen as too liberal. RFK Jr.'s MAHA movement. Trump commended RFK Jr.'s tenure as Health and Human Services Secretary. He outlined his administration's health goals to get toxins out of our environment, poisons out of our food supply, and keep our children healthy and strong. Kennedy has been a vehement vaccine skeptic, and experts have criticized his handling of the rising measles cases in unvaccinated people. Kennedy wrote in a Fox News op-ed published Sunday that the decision to vaccinate is a personal one. An unvaccinated child died in Texas in late February from the highly contagious disease, becoming the first fatality in a decade. President Trump also proclaimed that Kennedy will reverse the increasing trend of child cancer. He called on a child named DJ, who was diagnosed with cancer, and he was held up by his father as Republicans and attendees chanted his name. Kennedy's Make America Healthy Again movement could rupture public health. His movement has two central goals, according to Axios. The first is to redirect federal funding to research that determines why people get sick. The second is to adjust federal health policies to give patients more options. Kennedy posted a video last September, cementing his opposition on what he calls the mass poisoning of American children. "Together we're going to make America healthy again," Kennedy said towards the end. Conclusion. Trump's first big speech to Congress wound through a gauntlet of topics, such as his overhaul of the federal government, his foreign policy in Ukraine, his crackdown on ideologies in public schools, and more. His first few weeks in office have been marked by a flurry of executive orders and signings. In his congressional speech, President Trump doubled down on restricting radical gender and critical race ideologies in public schools, claiming that the federal government will freeze federal funding if schools don't adhere. It's important for teens to stay informed on the most important updates, especially how they'll affect their education and future. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Kit Connor said, "It was really special to be at Oscars 2025 with Joe Locke." This article was written by Ashley Carter on March 2nd. Kit Connor and Joe Locke seem to be there for each other in their biggest career moments, including at Oscars 2025, their first Academy Awards. The Heartstopper co-stars both arrived on the Oscars red carpet on Sunday, March 2nd, for the 97th Academy Awards, held at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. In two separate red carpet interviews, both actors spoke highly of each other and how they often lean on one another during these milestones. "I feel like we've sort of grown up in the same sphere and on the same job and have really, I'd like to think, been there for each other throughout it all," Connor told Variety. "It feels really special to both be here at our first Oscars together, and it's going to be a good day." Connor, who plays Nick Nelson on the Netflix show, said he and Locke try to correlate a little bit by showing up to events at the same time. "Were you on the schedule?" the interviewer asked. I think I may have been slightly late, maybe, Connor said, laughing. Late for the Oscars feels slightly sacrilegious. Meanwhile, Joe Locke caught up with Amelia de Moldenberg on the red carpet, where the interview led into the question of who would win a thumb war between Locke and Connor. Locke very confidently responded, Me. Kits all bark, no bite, Locke continued. I say that to him all the time. I could definitely beat Kit. Locke and Connor star opposite one another in the British queer coming-of-age rom-com series Heartstopper, which originally premiered in 2022. But they weren't the only Heartstopper stars in attendance. Yasmin Finney also walked the Oscars red carpet. Netflix has not yet confirmed if the beloved show will return for a fourth season. Meanwhile, Locke said in his red carpet interview with de Moldenberg that if he could cast any spell for Oscars night, it would be the employability spell. I feel like this is the best room to get a job in, he continued. No audition needed. Kit Connor starred in the critically acclaimed animation film The Wild Robot, which was nominated for Best Animated Feature, Best Original Score, and Best Sound. Connor plays the role of Fright Bill, alongside other actors including Lupita Nyong'o, Pedro Pascal, Stephanie Hsu, and more. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Miley Cyrus wore two Roberto Cavalli gowns for SNL 50 homecoming concert. This article was written by Ashley Carter on February 15th. Miley Cyrus can buy herself flowers and two Roberto Cavalli dresses. The superstar singer and actor made her way to Radio City Music Hall in New York City on February 14th for the SNL 50, the homecoming concert, ceremony, as a guest and performer. Saturday Night Live is celebrating 50 years on television this year with a weekend-long celebration that's bringing together talent of every generation. Ahead of Sunday's 50th anniversary special episode, the show held a star-studded concert to honor the hundreds of musical acts throughout the years. Cyrus joined the likes of Cher, Post Malone, Chris Martin, the Backstreet Boys, Snoop Dogg, and more, who took the stage on Friday night. Before her performance, Cyrus walked the carpet with her boyfriend, Max Morando, along with her mom, Tish Cyrus. The singer wore a gorgeous, yet edgy, Roberto Cavalli gown from the brand's Spring 2025 Ready-to-Wear collection. Cyrus posed for photos, showing off the gown's leather cut-out detailing that flowed down into a mermaid cut. The train of the dress hung at the ground behind her, while leaving room in the front to show off her strappy black heels. Cyrus kept her long brown and blonde hair straight with slight waves and wore a dark smoky eye with nude lip. Miley Cyrus then took the stage at one point during the ceremony, singing her Grammy Award-winning hit song, Flowers, dedicating it to SNL's creator and executive producer, Lorne Michaels. I love you, Lorne Michaels, Cyrus said. For her performance, Cyrus changed into yet another black Roberto Cavalli gown with similar cutout detailing. This particular gown gave Cyrus more room to move as she belted out her songs. The dress featured a high neck with more cutouts of leather material held together by fringe. The bottom of the gown had a feathered hem, and Cyrus once again opted for black strappy sandals. Not only did Cyrus perform her own song, but she also joined Brittany Howard and Questlove in a tribute to Queen. The two singers kicked off the entire evening with a rendition of Crazy Little Thing Called Love as a way to honor the late Freddie Mercury, whose final public performance was on SNL in 1982. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Stray Kids Han says he got scolded for briefly showing his tattoo. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on February 18th. Stray Kids member Han's tattoos have not yet seen the light of day publicly, but they are already the talk of the town, especially after the group's recent fan meetings. ICYMI. From February 14th to February 16th, 2025, the members of Stray Kids held their fifth fan meeting, titled Skiz O'Clock, at Incheon's Inspire Arena in South Korea. Member Felix sat out the last performance after being involved in a minor car accident and suffering from a pinched nerve, as shared by JYP. Aside from performances and games aplenty, Han's ink got a moment to shine during the concerts, albeit briefly and not without a little commotion. During the special event, Han performed Bang Chan's solo, Railway, off special album Hop and part of the group's ongoing Dominate World Tour. On tour, the performance ends with the group's leader taking off his top, something Han did not do. As shared by a fan on X, Han said the choreography change was beyond his power and imposed by his parent company to avoid showing the tattoo he has on the side of his torso, so he instead opted to lightly lift his top as a replacement move. On the last and final night, however, and as captured by fans, the star decided to give fans a bigger tease and lift his sweater a little more noticeably, which in turn resulted in a fragment of his ink taking the spotlight ever so briefly, which got Han a little scolding from staff, he shared. On his Bubble account, Han reflected on the three nights of the fan meeting and shared he was unaware his tattoo had been slightly visible for the final performance during his ab reveal, but he swiftly found out from staff members as he was coming down the stage. "But as long as you were happy, I'm fine with that. Time to lock up my stomach again," he quipped after. After some speculation, Han himself confirmed he had gotten some ink last year. Though they are yet to be seen fully, they have been peeking through here and there. Whether he does get a chance to show them off in the future, or decides not to in the end for personal reasons, he sure seems to love them. And ultimately, that's all that matters. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.